Hey, Jay, let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone say to you, "Sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays"?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked for saying something like that.
Come on, Bob.
What the hell are you wearing? Looking like Big Bird's side bitch.
Watch out for that first step, it's a doozy.
It's got a death curse. How about you?
Good.
Hey, the Schwartz be with you.
Check it out. Hey, everybody, welcome to Flick Magnet, the podcast. Episode 29. I am your host, Jay.
I'm Bob.
And we're doing the 1999 Office Space.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know what I was doing there. I was going for something, but failed.
You failed? Apparently.
So what's up, Bob?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much. Just another fine day in New Jersey.
A fine day in the dirty Jers. And it's Friday night here in the great town of Bricktucky.
Yeah, and I hear banjos everywhere right now.
Everywhere. You know, don't drop the soap, guys. Just saying. Why don't we just go right into the trailer, Bob?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
From Mike Judge, creator of Beavis and Butthead and co-creator of King of the Hill, comes a movie about people who go to work. Who are part of a team.
And remember, next Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day.
Okay, but I could set the building on fire.
Who respect their boss.
We need to talk about your flair.
Well, I have 15 pieces on.
15 is the minimum. Brian, for example, has 37 pieces of flair on today. And a terrific smile.
And need to escape.
I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
One of these days, I just kick this piece of...
I'm thinking now it might be more fun to just get fired. And I've always wondered what that would take.
Oh, Peter, listen.
Well, it looks like you've been missing quite a bit of work lately.
Well, I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
That's just a straight shooter with upper management written all over him.
We're going to be getting rid of these people here. Mr. Samir. Okay.
Night eating in a jot. Nain in a jot.
Not going to work here anymore anyway.
You haven't been showing up and you get to keep your job.
Actually, I'm being promoted.
Thank you, Bob.
This is a suck.
They're going to throw you out on the street so that Bill Lumberg's stock will go up.
Ooh.
It's completely unfair. Inatech deserves to go down.
We're just the guys to do it.
Tell me about that virus you're always talking about. The one that could rip off the company for a bunch of money.
I'm not going to do anything illegal, Peter.
Illegal? Samir, this is America. The worst they're gonna do is they put you in a white-collar minimum security resort for a couple of months. You know they have conjugal visits there?
I might be showing them my old face.
Oh.
They let you have sex with women?
They sure do.
Okay, I'll do it. Office Space.
I know you've been getting pretty depressed about your job and everything, and so I just wanted to tell you, good things can happen in this world. I mean, look at me.
You see, there's this mat with all different conclusions on it. What a fucking trailer.
That is a trailer for 1999's Office Space, written and directed by Mike Judge, starring Ron Livingston, Jennifer Aniston, David Herman, Ajay Naidu, Derek Bader, Stephen Root, Gary Cole, and also John C. McGinley.
PC Lowletter? What the fuck does that mean?
So Jay, we gotta do a beer segment now.
Oh, you want to do beer?
Yeah.
All right, let's do some beer.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse a
beer.
I could really use a
beer.
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 Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer.
Mo, give me a beer.
So yeah. On tap today. as a thank you for Jay helping me build the fence this weekend.
Ooh. Dude, that kicked my ass.
First, we got a 4-pack of yacht juice for Jay.
Ho! Thank you, buddy.
And then a 4-pack of Chewbacca.
What the fuck?
And to go with a nice style nice style beer from Germany, an Icarus Bierstein.
Oh, shit, dude. Thank you, buddy. All right. Dude, thanks. Yeah, let's crack those open.
This is...
Let's do Chewbacca.
Chewbacca the Masticator. It is a double box style lager. 7.7%.
Yeah, buddy. Sure beats these shitty pumpkin head shipyard beers.
It's a 4.5, so if I mix them together, man, I've got over 11%.
Yeah, that works. That's how math works. I'm going to pour mine into my brand new glass.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
That's good.
Das good.
Das boat.
Need pretzels.
Das boot.
Oh, dude. Look at that German head on it. That's a nice German head.
I want some of that head in my mouth right now. I'm going to take that head and I'm going to swallow it.
Yeah, let's go.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That is good. I like it. Nice. Very nice, Pop. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know what could go good with this? I just went to Costco. And you know that company I told you about I ordered pretzels for online?
Yeah.
They now sell them at Costco. For $11.99, you get 4 big pretzels, 8 of the pretzels like the medium size, and then like over 20 of the little bite size. And it comes with like all these different salts. Like they had a French toast salt.
If you eat like soft pretzels with no salt, fuck you, dude.
That's weird.
That is, you're like a serial killer.
I even like mustard with my pretzel.
Yes,
just like a little dab of mustard.
That's normal.
But like, there's people that are like, can I have a pretzel? Can you scrape off all that salt?
What?
I look at them.
Are you an alien?
I look at them and I look at the cash register. I said, I want you to take all that salt and scrape it onto my pretzel. Or just put the salt in my mouth.
How about I scrape the salt off into your fucking eyes?
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
You fucking maniac.
At that point, I want you to go to the store and buy white bread and just eat white bread.
Yeah.
You're eating bread.
And turn that son bitch sideways and stick it straight up your candy ass. That's in honor of The Rock being back this week on SmackDown.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, how fucking cool was that?
That was cool.
Come on, man.
Honor of The Rock needing money because SAG-AFTRA's on strike.
He doesn't need money. He just did it because he loves Vince.
Can't do any work. Can't star in any movies. Can't star in any t-shirts.
It's fantastic.
So it's like, I got to go do something. Even Batista's like, I'll come back for a show.
Yeah.
Just bring them all back. So,
fucking SmackDown had Rock and John Cena in the same night. And Raw had nothing.
Had nothing.
Nothing.
You know what?
USA was pissed the fuck off.
That's probably why USA went, you know what? Fuck you, Fox. I'm buying SmackDown back too. So now I'm paying $1.4 billion.
So now all of WWE is on one channel.
Just like the old days.
I like it.
Can SmackDown go back to Tuesdays?
That'd be cool.
Oh, no. NXT is on Tuesday.
Fuck NXT, dude. It's terrible.
Put NXT back on Wednesday so we can get swamped by AEW and just go Raw, SmackDown, NXT. No.
Put NXT back. Put it on Peacock. Like it used to be on the network. Do that.
Yeah, because, we can't. Becky Lynch is the champion.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's go to this movie.
All right. So we start off with our three main guys. Peter, Michael, and Samir. As each of them are trying to get to their jobs at Initech, but are having trouble due to the traffic. Peter keeps changing lanes, but when he gets in the other lane, the lane he just left starts moving. You know, that old gag. He also notices an old man on the sidewalk walking with a walker, who eventually gets ahead of Peter.
And then he's just gone.
Yeah. Michael's rocking out to a little Scarface.
A nice gangster rock. Gangster rap, man.
Until I see your monkey ass drop. And let your homies know who done it. Cause when it comes to this gangster shit,
oh shit, he's walking towards me.
A African-American flower man.
Lock the door.
And then turn that music down real low.
Up inside of me.
And he turns it right back out.
My mother, so I talk to my diary. I'm going
off on the... Fucking great song, dude.
It's a great song. This whole movie had a great soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack, dude. I fucking love it. It's so good. Smear, on the other hand, is just freaking out in his car.
Madam shit, that son of a ass! You! I just...
Fuck! Also, we see Milton sitting on a bench waiting for his bus, murmuring to himself, as he does. So now we're at Innatech as Bill Lumberg pulls into his reserve spot with his Porsche, as the plates read, "My Porsche." He gets out and gives it a little extra look and a smile as he walks by and into the building. So inside, Peter walks in and goes to open the door to the cubicles, except he's hesitant because he knows if he touches that knob, he's gonna get zapped. Having just walked across some office-style carpeting.
Yeah, what did he do? Take off his shoes and just rub his feet on the ground?
I don't know. Like, it doesn't work like... And it's California. There's moisture in the air.
Well,
it's not dry.
It's not California.
It's not... Where is it?
It's supposed to be Texas.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot and it's dry. The dry Texas weather. The dry heat.
So you're okay. He goes to open it, and wouldn't you know it, he gets shocked. So Peter gets to his cubicle, sits down, as his face turns even more defeated as he hears this in the background.
Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment. Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment. Corporate accounts payable, Nina speaking. Just a moment.
It's enough to put your head through a wall.
Yeah. I meant to take the audio for this, but... On the Blu-ray, there is a deleted scene where Peter gets up and goes and addresses her. He's like, "Can't you say anything else besides that? Please!" And he goes on and on and on about it. It's pretty funny.
Why did he take it out?
I don't know. That's...
It's probably to make Peter seem not like a douche.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, because if you do that, you make him seem like just an asshole.
Yeah. So then his boss, Lumberg, comes over and starts giving him shit about not putting... cover letters on his TPS reports.
"Hey, Peter, what's happened?
Didn't you get the memo?" Peter's like, "I got the memo. It's not a big deal because they don't go out till tomorrow. So it's not a problem, really." But Lumberg tells him to put cover letters on the reports and he'll make sure that Peter gets a copy of that memo. Next, Peter asks Milton in the cubicle next to him if he could turn down the radio a little. But Milton says... he was told he could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume between 9 and 11. Peter backs off and goes the TPS reports thing again with two other bosses.
Yeah, one calls him and another, I think Don shows up to
Don,
his people.
Yeah, Don shows up and he gets a phone call. He's like, "I got the fucking memo." If this was my life, Bob, you wanna know what I would do?
What?
This. Don't forget the buttons in the back. Ask me again. Ask me about the memo again.
This is why post office workers go postal.
What movie is that from?
I don't remember.
We did it?
Was this Predator?
Yes, it was. So cut to Samir, who's fighting with the printer. He says, "Why does it say paper gem when there is no paper gem?"
I've lived through this.
"I swear, one of these days." Then the secretary comes over to them for some mail or whatever. Samir, he just takes it. He's like, "God damn it." Then she reads Michael's, his name. He says, "Michael Bolton? Wow, is that your real name? Are you related to the singer guy?" Mike's like, "No, it's just a coincidence." Samir says that his name isn't that hard to pronounce. Na-i-an-a-ja. 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 "Well, at least your name isn't Michael Bolton." Samir tells Michael that there's nothing wrong with that name. It's a good name. Mike's like, "There was nothing wrong with that name until that no-talent ass clown came around and started winning Grammys." Samir says, "Then why don't you go by Mike or Michael?" Michael's like, "Why should I change? He's the one who sucks." Then Peter comes over and asks them if they want to get out of here and go get some coffee at Tchotchke's. I feel like I'm going to lose it, he says. Then the mail lady comes by and says this.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Oh, slap that lady.
The bitch, shut the fuck up.
Case of the Mondays?
Shut.
How about case of the shut the fuck up?
How about you got a case of the fucking donuts? I don't know.
Damn. Right. That came from a dark place.
So they do. They go to Tchotchke's. So they're sitting at the table, and Peter is venting to them. He says that Lumberg's going to have him work Saturday, and he's going to do it because he's a giant pussy, which is why he works at Inatech to begin with. Mike's like, I work there, too, and I don't consider myself a pussy. Samira says that he, too, is not the pussy. Michael says if they don't start treating their software people better, they're going to find out the hard way that he's not a pussy. He's got a virus that could rip that place off big time. Then we're introduced to the love interest in this movie, and it's Jennifer Aniston.
Yes, the one bona fide star in this movie.
Making her second appearance on this show.
A repeat offender.
Yeah. Leprechaun was the other one.
Yes.
Peter wants to talk to her, but he doesn't. Samira tells him, if you like her, just go ask her out. Peter says, you can't just walk up to a waitress and ask her out. He'd be just another asshole customer, being creepy. And besides, he says he wants to work it out with Anne. Peter tells the boys that he can't play poker on Friday because Anne's taking him to see an occupational hypnotherapist. Peter then says that he gets the feeling like Anne's cheating on him. The boys are like, yeah.
Yeah, we got that feeling,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we get that, too. What's that supposed to mean? Nothing.
Fucking whore.
Michael's disappointed in this and tells him to say no. Peter says that Anne thinks he can help, and the guy's supposed to be pretty good. I mean, he did help Anne lose weight. Peter, she's anorexic. Yeah, I know. The guy's really good. Michael then says that he doesn't think some occupational hypnotherapist is going to help him solve his problems. And speaking of problems, what this I hear that you're having problems with your TPS reports? Samira follows with, yeah, didn't you get that memo? Motherfucker.
Jesus Christ.
Back at the Inatech parking lot, Tom Simkowski comes running out saying that Inatech is bringing in some consultants. The ones where they basically make you interview for your job. Simkowski goes on about the guy who invented the pet rock. You see, that's what you gotta do to get ahead in this world. Mike says, you think the pet rock was a good idea?
No, pet rock is stupid.
Yeah, the guy made $1 million.
That's what he claims. Anybody actually make $1 million on a pet rock?
I think he did. I'll bet you he did, because that was a thing for like a week.
The pet rock?
Yeah. It was a thing for a short amount of time.
Really? People really were invested in the pet rock?
It was in stores and people bought it.
That's so stupid.
Can you look up real quick doing this pet rock success? I don't know. So Simkowski goes on to talk about an idea that he had once.
He's right. He sold over 1 million pet rocks for $4 each and became a millionaire.
There you go. Bam. He pauses and Peter says, what is it, Tom? Well, all right. It was a jump to conclusions, Matt. You see, it would be this mat. You would put it on the floor, and it would have all different conclusions written on it. And you could jump to. The boys look stunned at what they just heard, as Michael says, that is the worst idea I've ever heard, Tom. Yes, that is terrible. This idea, says Samir.
It is a pretty bad idea.
Yeah, it's fucking retarded. Cut to Peter walking through his door and taking a seat on his couch as he hears his neighbor through the walls tell him to put on Channel 9. Check out this chick! Peter's like, if you want to talk to me, just come over. So Lawrence comes over and puts on the channel, and it's a chick rubbing her titties or her boobies.
Yeah, giving herself a breast exam.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah. It's just so funny. He goes, yo, check this out. And it's just a chick giving herself.
Check out this chick.
They're talking about, you know, you
check
have
out
to.
Her tits.
You need to check yourself out for cancer. So she's giving herself a breast exam. That's what they're watching.
No, it's a hot girl, naked, rubbing her titties. How is that? What?
Yeah.
That's something you do like when you're in the shower.
This movie's fucking hilarious.
God damn it. Lawrence says, doesn't she look like Anne? Lawrence asks about Peter's relationship with Anne, and he tells him that he gets the feeling like she's cheating on him. Lawrence responds with, yeah, I get that feeling too, man, as he takes a sip of his Miller Genuine Draft.
He is also like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Peter's like, what do you mean by that? I don't know, man. I just get that feeling looking at her. Like she's the type of chick that would just... I'm just talking out my ass. Peter asks Lawrence, when you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays? No. No, man. Shit. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked for saying something like that. Lawrence then asks if they're still on for fishing this weekend, but Peter says that he can't because he knows Lumberg's going to have him come in on Saturday. Lawrence is like, no problem. Just duck out early. Turn off your answer machine when you get home. Peter's like, that's a great idea. To which Lawrence responds with,
fucking A, man.
That's right. It's a great idea. Peter then asks Lawrence what he would do if he had $1 million. I'll tell you what I'd do if I had $1 million, man. Two chicks at the same time.
Hell yeah.
Pete's taken back by that and says, that's it? Lawrence says, I think if I were a millionaire, I could hook that up too. Because chicks dig dudes with money. Well, not all chicks. Kind of chicks that would double up on a dude like me do. Good point.
Very good point.
Lawrence flips the question on Peter and says, What would he do with $1 million? Peter says, nothing. I would do nothing. To which Lawrence replies, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do shit. Cut to the next day. Well, before we go, Bob, what would you do with $1 million?
What would I do with $1 million? Honestly?
Lie to me.
Nothing. I don't want to do anything. I want to stay home and do nothing. Watch TV. Relax.
You wouldn't buy a bigger house or a...
No.
Really?
No. If I had $1 million, I'm going to get you shit nowadays.
Well, let's go back to this year, 1999.
Even $1 million wasn't that much money.
$1 million is still a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money, but not as much as you want it to be.
If I had $1 million, I'd buy you a car. Remember that?
Buy you a crap shack, because that's all you can get nowadays.
Get a little house.
Yeah. For midgets.
Like in New Hampshire.
Midget house.
A midget house. I don't know. If I had $1 million.
I might get one of them big campers and just drive around the nation.
I was going to say I would take my family on the fucking greatest vacation ever. We'd see the country. And then we'd go to fucking Europe. We'd see Europe.
You'd go to Europe. Might not just come back. Stay there.
I might stay there because this country's fucked.
Ooh, go to the Germany, yeah?
I've been to Germany.
Nice workers' party, yeah.
I'd move back to Belgium and buy the house that we used to live in.
Nice.
That's what I would do.
We are in the land of chocolates.
And I'd buy the farm that was across the street, the candy store that was next to us, and I'd invest in the church that was diagonal.
Nice.
Because that fucking neighborhood was the shit, dude. Anyway, cut to the next day, Friday at Initech, where Lumberg is introducing the Bobs to the office, the consultants. And Milton is on the phone telling Peter that, I told Bill if they moved my desk one more time, I would quit. They moved my desk 4 times, and I used to be able to see the squirrels outside, and they were merry. Then they switched from the swing line to the Boston stapler, but I kept my swing line stapler because I didn't bind it too much. If they take my stapler, then I'll have to set the building on fire. Pete's like, okay, gotta go, and tries to duck out early.
All right, see you later, weirdo.
Yeah, but Lumber catches him and does, in fact, tell him to come in tomorrow and on Sunday.
Yeah, fuck you, dude.
Lumber sucks.
He sucks.
Big time. I had a job that was similar to this. It lasted like 2 days. And it was a telemarketer in a building that had cubicles and shit like this. It was the worst. And I had some shit jobs.
Yeah, I did a job like that. You ever see the movie Boiler Room? Vin Diesel's in it?
I don't think so.
Yeah, basically, they're scamming people. They're using an auto dialer, and they're scamming people to buy fake stocks. I did a job like that, but I worked for a lawyer. It was during the 2000s, when we had that recession go on, and it was a lawyer trying to do debt relief.
Yeah, this for me, this was around like 97, 98, 99, somewhere around there. And it was for the Fraternal Order of Police asking for donations. Which
the scam one? The scam?
No. From what I know, like legit. It was legit. And it was non-tax deductible. You couldn't even write it off your taxes.
Oh God. Fuck you.
Yeah, good luck fucking selling that shit.
Did you watch that special on telemarketers? That thing on Netflix? What they would do is they would buy the rights to Fraternal Order Police to like fundraise for them. And they only give the police very little money, and they were scamming all these old people out of money for the Fraternal Order Police, and realistically, the Fraternal Order Police were getting very little of the money.
Really?
Yeah. Freaking telemarketer scams.
Okay. God damn it. Anyway. Cut to Peter with Anne, and they're at the occupational hypnotherapist's office, and he's telling the doc that ever since he's been working at Inatech, every day is the worst day of his life. Doc asks if today is the worst day of his life. Peter says yes, as the doc says, oh, that's messed up. And shoots him a look like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Come on, doctor. Doctor. Peter asks if he can just put him in a trance so he thinks he's fishing while at work. Doc says that's not how it works, but says he can help him. He turns down the light and tells Peter to relax. From your toes to your fingertips, you're going to feel your eyelids getting heavy. As you slip deeper and deeper into a state of complete relaxation. Doing a thing, Bob?
Yes.
All your cares and concerns are disappearing.
I'm getting very relaxed right now.
Deeper and deeper. Way down. Your concern about your job melts away. Way, way down. When I count backwards from three, all your cares and inhibitions will be gone, and you will remain in that state until I snap my fingers. Doc's starting to act distressed as he counts backwards. Three, deeper and deeper. Two, deeper and deeper. Way down. One. He drops dead.
A fucking heart attack.
Hilarious. Right to the floor. As everyone in the room tries to help out. Holy shit, that fucking synced up to that fucking music perfectly.
That was almost like awesome. You rehearsed it.
I did not. Everyone tries to help, but Peter just sits there, has a dopey smile on his face, and just leaves.
This is what he looks like when I take the gummies and I just sit on the couch. That's what he looks like. Just
he looks like Bob when he's high.
Yeah, just nice, relaxed, like, dude, the dog's taking a shit on the floor, kids running around screaming. Nobody cares.
I'm a weirdo. Weirdo.
Nobody cares.
Cut to the next day, Saturday, as he's in bed, ignoring the alarm and all of Lumberg's messages on his machine.
Like 19 of them.
17.
So funny.
17 total. Then he gets up and Anne calls him and asks him why he's not at work. Why did you just walk out when Dr. Swanson was dying? Peter hangs up on him. He's like, fuck, I don't got time for this. She calls back and goes straight to the answer machine, where she yells at him that they're through and she's been cheating on him.
Everybody knew that already.
Everyone did.
Fucking whore.
Especially Lawrence.
Yeah, man. Just get that feeling.
Just get that feeling. She's the type of chick that would just... Now it's Monday and Peter goes to Tchotchke's to ask Joanna to lunch. He says he's going to go next door and if you come, no big deal. If you don't come, no big deal.
Just like he walks up to her, like, eh.
Yeah.
I'm going to be over there at Flingers.
She's like, do you mean Chili's or Flingers?
Cause, yeah.
Cause she wants to know in case she says yes.
Yeah. Flingers.
Flingers. Right.
That sounds like a typical 90s
restaurant. Is that a real restaurant?
I don't think so.
Sounds like it would be.
I know Tchotchke's is a take on TGI Fridays. All
right.
They're making fun of TGI Fridays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it does. Flingers and Tchotchke's sounds like a real restaurant in the 90s.
It does. I bought it. So cut back at the office where the Bobs are interviewing Simkowski. The Bobs say, so, what you do at Inatech is you take the specifications from the customers and you bring them down to the software engineers. Tom says, yes, that's right.
That's what I do.
Bob 2 asks, Well, why can't the customers just take them down to the software people? Tom says, I'll tell you why. Because the engineers are not good at dealing with customers. Bob 1 says, so you physically take the specs from the customer? Well, no. My secretary does that, or they get faxed. Bob 2, so you must physically bring them to the software people? Well, no. I mean, sometimes. Bob 1, what would you say you do here? Tom's getting upset and says, look, I already told you, I deal with the goddamn customers, so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I'm good at dealing with people.
He's freaking out. He's freaking out.
Because he's the one that was, he called this. He's like, yeah. We're fucked.
People are getting fired.
We're getting fired. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people? Simmer down, Tom. Next, Michael comes in with the Bobs, and when they say his name, the Bobs are taken back because they are huge Michael Bolton fans.
Was Michael Bolton really big?
For a while, yeah.
For a while?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Is he the song, you know, How Can I Live Without You? How can I live without you?
I don't know. Look it up.
All right, I'm going to look up Michael Bolton.
They say, are you any relation to the pop singer? Bob 1 says that he celebrates the man's entire catalog. He then says for him, it doesn't get any better when he sings When a Man Loves a Woman. They ask him what his favorite song is. And it's probably difficult to pick just one, being that they have the same name and all. Michael lies and says he just likes them all. Back at Flinger's, Joanna shows up for Peter's invite. They awkwardly talk about her buttons, or flair. And then she asks him where he works. He tells her that he works at Initech. You got an answer, Bob?
Not yet? No, not yet.
Where they update bank software for the...
Yes! How am I supposed to live without you?
Nice.
God damn it.
Where they update bank software for the 2000 Switch.
Dude, he had some long-ass hair. What the hell?
He looked like the guy on the romance novels. That had the white shirt half unbuttoned.
Holy crap, he looks like every romance novel guy. You're right.
Yeah. He also looks like from I Can't Believe It's Not Butter.
Fabio. Oh my god, where did that one come from?
Pulling shit out of my ass right now.
You know he got a nose broken when he was riding a roller coaster and a bird flew into his face?
Yeah. Yep.
I think at Busch Gardens in Virginia.
Stay off the coasters and stay out of the ocean.
Stay off the coke.
Stay off the cocaine. He tries to explain it, but opts to not talk about work. He says he doesn't like his job, and he doesn't think he's going to go anymore. Joanna's like, you're going to quit? He's like, nah, not really. I'm just going to stop going.
Stop going. This is such a funny scene.
I've done that.
Just stop going?
Yeah, I just didn't go to my job anymore.
Yeah, I did that. I did that for a job.
I was like, I hate this job. I'm not going to go back. And I didn't. She asks if he's going to get another job. He says, I don't think I'd like another job. He says that he'd like to take her out to dinner and go back to his place and watch Kung Fu. Where he burns his forearms on the heated pot. The witch's pot.
That show was weird. That was a weird show.
Me and my brother watched it because we were really into like kung fu and like martial arts as a kid. It was the 80s and we were 80s kids, so that's what you did. Joanna's like, yeah, I love kung fu. So he's in.
There you go. In like Flynn.
Back at Initech, Lumberg tells Milton that he needs him to go ahead and move his desk to the back and then takes his stapler away.
Yeah, he steals that stapler.
Yep, he's like, I'm going to go ahead and need to take that too. Milton mutters that he could set the building on fire.
Again.
Peter then walks in so he can grab his address book from his desk. Michael tells him that he's in deep shit for not showing up for work this weekend and that he's supposed to be in a meeting with the Bobs. Right now, Peter's like, oh yeah, and heads off to go talk to them, despite Michael pleading with him to reschedule. He's like, dude, don't do it.
Don't do it. You look how you're dressed. Look how you don't give a shit. Just don't do it.
Yeah. So Peter goes in and pours himself a glass of water as the Bobs ask him to take them through a typical day for him here at Initech. Peter says, quote, I generally come in about 15 minutes late. I use a side door. This way Lumberg can't see him. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour. Space out?
Yeah, he's like, what? Space out?
Yeah, I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working. He says in a given week, he probably only does about 15 minutes of actual work. Bob 1 asks him to tell them a little more. Peter says, oh yeah, let me tell you something about TPS reports. They go on. Peter says that he's not lazy, it's just that he doesn't care. He says if he works his ass off and Initech ships a few extra units, he doesn't see another dime. So where's the motivation? It's a great point.
It is a really good point.
Peter says, let me tell you something else. I have 8 different bosses right now.
8 bosses?
I beg your pardon?
Bob replies, you just did it. Goddamn. So when he makes a mistake, he has 8 different people coming by to tell him about it. That's his only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That and losing his job. But you know what? That will only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired. The Bobs then offer Peter a raise and a higher position.
Stock options. Yeah. Why don't we just, the hypothetical here, I'll offer you like stock options.
Peter leaves as Lumberg tries to talk to him, but Peter just moves right
He just
past
walks
him.
Right. I laughed out loud.
He just sidesteps him.
He goes, hey, Peter, it's what's happening. He's not even looking at him. He's just kind of looking down, drinking his coffee. Whoop, just walks right around him. And Lumberg's just like, what the hell just happened? Like,
what? Peter, by the way, is wearing jeans and flip-flops.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that.
He's supposed to be dressed like he just doesn't give a shit.
Flip-flops or sandals with jeans, you're an asshole.
Yeah, I can't see flip-flops with jeans. That's weird.
It's stupid.
I'm a weirdo. Yeah, I'm a weirdo.
Cut the tchotchkes as Joanna's getting shit from her boss, played by Mike Judge.
Mike Judge himself.
Yep. About not wearing more than the required 15 pieces of flair on her uniform. 15 is the minimum. Brian has 37 pieces of flair and a great smile. And a great ass, too.
She got a great ass!
So, more flair then. We encourage people to express themselves here at Tchotchkes. You do want to express yourself, don't you? Make it more than you fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'm looking at this guy going, well, if you want her to wear more flair, make her wear
make
more.
Make her wear more flair.
Yeah.
It makes no... Oh, God.
15 is the minimum. You want to express yourself. Well, some people want to express themselves with the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the guy's just talking circles. I'm like, shut up. I want to punch you.
Mm-hmm. Cut back at Initech where the Bobs are going over their findings with Lumberg and Portwood. They say that Simkowski is gone and Milton was apparently laid off 5 years ago, but through some glitch in the system, he still gets a paycheck. So they just fixed the glitch. So he's fired. They say, no. We just fixed the glitch. He'll no longer receive a paycheck. The problem just kind of will work itself out.
Yeah, okay. It'll work itself out when you don't when someone's there every day and you're not paying them.
Yes, that. Mm-hmm.
That's going to work out real good.
It's going to work out like this, Bob. This is what's going to happen if they do that.
Oh, God, not this again.
Where's my fucking paycheck? Actually, it's more like,
excuse me, I worked all week and...
Excuse me, I had to bring in my AR-15.
It's an AR-15. I wanted the AR-17, but the 15 was much lighter and had the straps options. And I'd like my paycheck now, please.
I like the rail options with the scope and the extra mag clip.
It's got a spot for my stapler. Get them to staple some papers together.
God damn it.
I know this is Texas, so I can just go get one right now. Go burn this place to the ground.
The last draw.
The Bobs bring up Peter, and they say that he has upper management written all over him.
Yeah, oh yeah. This is the best part.
Lumberg does not like this. So let's just check in with the movie. What do you say, Bob?
Yeah, let's do that.
We fixed the glitch. So he won't be receiving a paycheck anymore, so it'll just work itself out naturally. Mm-hmm. We always like to avoid confrontation whenever possible.
Burn the building
down.
Solved
from your end. I'd like to move us right along to a Peter Gibbons. Now, we had a chance to meet this young man.
Woo.
And boy, that's just a straight shooter with upper management written all over him.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there. Yeah, he's been real flaky lately. And I'm just not sure that he's the caliber person that we would want for upper management. He's also been having some problems
Bob is pissed.
With
oh,
his
Bob
TPS
Run
reports.
Is staring holes at that guy. I'll handle this.
I got this, buddy.
We
he wants to punch him.
Feel yeah. that the problem isn't with Peter.
Mm-mm. Peter?
It's that you haven't challenged him enough to get him really motivated.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Yeah, Bill, let me ask you a real quick question here.
What do you
How
do here, motherfucker?
How much time would you say you spend each week dealing with these TPS reports?
Lumberg slowly lowers his coffee mug.
Death stare by Bob.
Yeah. Right into a montage.
A great montage. Can we do the montage?
Let's do the montage.
Here he is parking.
It feels good to be a gangster.
He parks in Lumberg's spot. He's going to walk to the door. He doesn't want to get shocked. So
there's a worker working on the ceiling. Takes his drill.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
And unscrews the doorknobs.
A nondescript drill.
It's like a Black and Decker.
Probably.
It's a 90s.
So Lumberg's parking in the handicap spot. With his Porsche, because someone is parking his parking spot. Peter. Hey there, Peter.
His blue Porsche.
Peter is now pulling down a giant banner.
He says, what's good for the company? Or is this good for the company?
Everyone's just staring at him as he packs it into a garbage can. They're trying to tow Lumberg's Porsche, and they just pull the bumper off.
Because they're retarded and hooked it right up to just the plastic part.
Here's my favorite part of this montage.
Hey, Peter, man. Check out down line. It's the breast exam.
Woo!
Lumberg's looking for Peter, and Peter is not there. He's out fishing with his neighbor and his girlfriend. That's a nice bass.
That is a nice bass.
To be a gangster.
Hi, Peter.
He walks by Don, smacks him in the back.
And now he's using a TPS report to gut a fish.
He does. He rips it from gill to groin.
He knows what he's doing.
Right on the TPS.
That's got to be a real fish.
Has to be.
Back to the bedroom watching Kung Fu.
On a big screen TV.
At the time, yeah. Now he's using the same drill as earlier to take down one of the walls of his cubicle and push it down so he can look outside.
Yeah, he's got a window.
I love this song.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Then Lumberg comes up and is taken back by what he sees. But it's too much. He's too much of a pussy to say anything. He asks Peter if he's going to get on those TPS reports. Peter's like, no, and to leave him alone, basically, as he plays Tetris on his PC. Tetris has been around for a long time.
Tetris, the game of the Soviet Union.
Really?
Yeah, it was invented by a Soviet guy who...
Was bored?
Who then defected and then tried to, like, do a success with another Tetris-style game, but it never got big. Tetris is so much fun, though. I like Tetris.
Cue Soviet Union music in the background right now. Peter says that he's going to have to go ahead and ask him to come back another time.
He's got a meeting with the boss.
That's right. Milton then gets himself a visit from Lumberg, who once again tells Milton to move his desk to the basement.
And you notice this time, his whole cubicle is filled with storage boxes.
Yeah.
So they turned him into storage, and now they're forcing him to go into the basement.
You're going to have to talk to payroll about that.
And they get the paycheck.
And they said, Mel, we're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No.
Shit. We have some new people coming in.
Nope. Okay. I believe you have my stapler. Cut to Peter with the Bobs as they say to him that he's been missing a lot of work lately. I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. It's been a while, I'd say. They tell him that they're getting rid of some people. Peter's like, you do what you gotta do. So they start reading off some of the names of the people that they're gonna let go. First, Mr. Samir Naga, he's not gonna work here anymore.
Oh, that's classic.
I love that line. And Mr. Mike Bolt, they call him Mike Bolton.
Yeah, well, when he interviewed, he's like, call me Mike.
Yeah.
And like, earned death stares.
They're like, the fuck did you just say, motherfucker?
It's like you walked up and slapped his mama.
Yeah.
Called me Mike.
Call you Mike? So, where was I? Nobody's going to miss him, they say. Peter is a little shocked by this. The Bobs say that they're going to bring in some entry-level grad students, standard operating procedure.
Yeah, from like Singapore.
Yeah. They then officially offer Peter a raise with as many as 4 people working underneath him.
This is a big promotion.
Mm. Peter's like, you're going to fire Michael and Samir and give me more money?
Wow.
What weirdo?
Peter goes up to Michael, who is struggling with that fucking printer, and asks him what he's doing tonight. Cut to Peter and Michael at Peter's as Peter is asking about that virus Michael's always going on and on about.
Yeah, but you forgot the best line as he's sitting there at the bar.
Not there yet.
You're not there
he
yet?
He didn't tell him yet.
Oh, that's right. They were talking about the virus.
Getting to it. I would not skip that. I promise you, buddy.
Thank you.
Michael tells him that basically it rounds up every business transaction a fraction of a percent, which usually rounds off. And it takes the remainder and puts it in an account, kind of like in Superman 3.
Everybody got that?
The one with Richard Pryor. The other good Superman movie.
Yes.
I love that one with Richard Pryor. Love it. They say that Inatech is so backed up preparing for the Y2K, it was really hard to not type Y2J.
Y2J?
Yeah.
Break the walls down.
That they would never notice. Peter asks him, what's stopping him from doing this? He says, it's not worth risking it. He's got a good job. Peter says, what if you didn't have a good job?
So good.
Cut to them at a bar, as Michael says.
Cock gobblers.
So good. Makes me laugh every time.
Cock gobblers.
So at the bar, Peter's telling Mike that life isn't meant to be spent in cubicles. Michael says, I told those fudge packers I like Michael Bolton's music. Peter's trying to convince him.
Oh, you did it. That was so funny. Oh, like he's like, how could you stoop so low?
I know. You told those fudge packers you like Michael Bolton's music? Peter's trying to convince Michael to do the virus and to rip off Inatech. Take them down. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Cut back at Peter's as Michael and Peter are trying to convince Samir now to join them in the plot to rip off Inatech. Samir is extremely resistant at first, but when Peter says that if they did get caught and they did go to a white-collar minimum security resort where they would have conjugal visits...
With women?
With women? Samir is like, all right.
All right, I'm in.
I'm in.
That's all it took.
Yeah, that's it. Pussy.
Sex. Sex makes you do crazy shit.
Yeah. They all swear that they'll never tell anyone. Everyone agrees. As does Lawrence through the walls. I won't tell anybody too, man. Who the fuck is that? Says Michael. Don't worry, he's cool.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah, who the fuck? Yeah, he's cool.
So the guys do some secret, we're back at Inatech and they're doing the secret handoffs.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's like, he's gonna up get the virus on the floppy disk. How many people know what floppy disks are nowadays?
It's not even a floppy. It's like a hard.
They were all. It was a. It was.
It was it, right after floppy.
It was giant at the time. They had giant floppies, and then they had the small.
Then the hard ones.
Hard disks.
Yes.
But everyone was calling them floppy disks.
That's true. Because we were so used to calling them
floppy disks. Yeah. So someone handing a little disk off to Samir,
mm-hmm.
who gets up and does a behind the back handoff to Peter.
All unnecessary.
All unnecessary. But just
it took 2 seconds.
It was just funny.
It was cool. I liked it a lot.
It was a nice sequence.
At the end of that, they're like, that was easy.
That was easy.
That was really easy. Then up comes a fellow coworker and tells him that Tom Simkowski tried to kill himself when he found out that he was getting fired. He does the car running in the closed garage thing, but his wife comes home early and catches him.
He tried to do the guy from NXS?
Is that how he killed himself?
No, he hung himself. The guy from Boston did that.
Really?
He pumped his exhaust into the bathroom he was in, and then he killed himself that way. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to kill yourself, that's probably a really good way to do it.
Hey, you slowly asphyxiate.
I got to tell you a quick little story.
Oh, here we go.
A quick little retarded story about myself. So we had a clogged dryer vent.
Oh, no.
Right? And if you're new to the show, I have my own lawn care business, so I have backpack blowers and stuff that takes gas, right? Gas-powered. So I have this great idea to go inside my house with my backpack blower and to blow out my dryer vent from my laundry room. Yeah.
Oh, no.
So I start doing it. All of a sudden, I start getting really lightheaded and really sleepy. Like, my eyes are, like, I'm fading. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, wait, this is a bad idea. Get the fuck out of here. Turn this off immediately. And I did. I almost fucking killed myself.
Jesus Christ, dude. That's a terrible idea.
And then I heard this for some reason.
Never go full retard.
God, dude.
But I did.
That's a terrible idea.
That was a long time. I was fucking, what an idiot, right?
I'm a weirdo. Weirdo.
So his wife comes home and catches Tom, who has a change of heart. He backs out of his driveway. He's like, I'm going to go do whatever, get some errands. And he gets pummeled by a drunk driver driving a pickup truck. It broke his legs, wrists, a couple of ribs, his back. Turns out he's going to get a huge settlement out of this. And he's throwing a huge party tomorrow, and they're all invited. The blonde douche says that he might take that new chick from logistics. If things go well, I might be showing her my old face. You know what I'm talking about. Oh.
God, that's another quotable line.
Yeah. So Peter's driving Michael and Samira home from their last day at Intertech. Samira says, I can't believe they escorted them out. Like, we're going to steal something. Peter says, I stole something. Michael's like, I guess we all did. No, I stole something else. Called a going away present.
I stole something else. What did you steal? Called a going away present.
Great song.
Yeah. And it works for them. It's on TV right now. Back up in your ass with the
resurrection. As they're destroying the copy printer that they've had trouble with this whole time.
Yeah, Samir takes out a bat. Starts bashing the printer with it. Michael goes actual nuts and starts punching it.
Yeah, it just absolutely goes crazy.
Yeah, at one point, they gotta just drag him off the printer.
Then he gets away and just...
he comes running back. Just, I ain't done with that motherfucker yet!
Starts stomping on it and falling over.
PC load letter? What the fuck does that mean? It means this, motherfucker! Die, motherfucker, die. This is where they pull Michael off.
I think it's something in the water, man. It's gotta be in the water.
Damn, his fucking soundtrack is good. Damn it. Dude, 90s rap ruled, man.
90s rap was very good.
So fucking good. Alright, you're getting me pumped up. I gotta stop that. Next day on the way to Tom's barbecue, Peter tries to explain that the virus does what the virus does and how it rounds off decimal places and whatnot. And Joanna keeps saying, so it's stealing.
So you're stealing.
Stealing.
No. No.
No, it's like the give a penny, take a penny tray from a convenience store. You know.
No, my favorite only was, you know, the by the counter with the money. You steal from the
cripple kids?
Not, no. the jar. The tray. Except this is a really big tray.
Yeah. And we're only taking a fraction of a penny from a much bigger tray. And we do it a couple million times.
So
she still says, so...
So is this money, is this money yours? Is your money yours?
Is it? It's
no.
No.
So it's stealing.
No. Peter's...
Name another movie recently where you could see the crippled kids.
What's wrong with that?
You can't see the crippled kids anymore.
Why not?
They're now the physically challenged.
Are they not crippled?
No, they're physically challenged.
But are they crippled?
Well, to us, they are.
They're crippled.
They're physically challenged. When she said, oh, the crippled kids, I'm like, oh, man. something you can't say. That never nowadays.
That's weird because that didn't even cross my mind.
I laughed at it because I'm like, there's no way people are saying the crippled kids on TV
I'll say it. Oh, no. Joanna says stealing and it's wrong. Peter says Inatech is wrong. Tchotchkes is wrong. Don't you get tired of waking up every day and putting on 15 pieces of flair? You know, the Nazis had pieces of flair. They made the Jews wear them.
Yeah, that was like, whoa.
It was the Star of David.
Yeah. With a yellow one.
Yep, right on their chest.
And then she's like, what?
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
So cut to Michael and Samir arriving at the barbecue. Tom greets them in a wheelchair, and he's beat to shit.
Oh, he looks awful.
He introduces them to his lawyer, Rob Newhouse. Get it? He's a lawyer and probably buys a new house from his clients. Oh, no.
Big stretch there.
You suck.
Thank you. Then Peter and Joanna show up, and Tom brings Peter into the other room and shows him his prototype for his jump to conclusions, Matt.
Tom, it's as stupid as we thought it was.
It's fucking dumb. What the fuck?
What are you doing, man?
Tom then gives Peter some advice and says he knows that he gets depressed about his job sometimes, but if you hang in there, good things will happen. Just look at him. Yeah, I'm in a wheelchair and almost died, but I'm going to make $1 million.
I'm going to make $1 million like the Pet Rock guy.
Then out on the lawn, Michael and Samir are talking to Tom's lawyer, Mr. Newhouse, about conjugal visits in jail. He says that he has a client in minimum security prison right now. He says the trick is to kick someone's ass or become someone's bitch. Then everything will be all right. Now the blonde douche is back. His name is Drew. And he sees Joanna and asks if that's the girl from Tchotchkes and who she's here with. Peter says, she's here with me, buddy.
Really?
All right, Peter. Make sure you wear a rubber, dude.
Wear a rubber, dude?
Yeah, dude. Listen, brother. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins.
I'd wear a rubber.
You always wear a rubber when you fuck a skank.
Pasta mania, dude.
I can't wait to be Hogan for Halloween.
You're just gonna
I'm
going to
annoy
time.
Everybody. Can't wait. Maybe I'll do a show.
As
Hogan.
Listen here, dude.
Why is that, Drew? You kidding me? She gets around like a record. Ha. Asks with who? Well, let me see here. Well, Lumberg fucked her.
Whoa!
This sends Peter into a hizzy, and when they're driving home, he freaks out on Joanna, who gets out of the car and tells him to grow up and slams the door.
Hey, don't call me.
Well, at least I didn't sleep with Lumberg! Peter yells at her. That night, Peter has dreams or nightmares about Lumberg. Yeah.
Hell, Lumberg fucked her.
Lumberg fucked her.
Lumberg fucked her. Yeah, that is great.
I mean, she was seeing the old face for sure.
Oh, oh.
You can go ahead and just move a little bit to the left. That's it. Great. Peter,
what's happening?
Could you give me those TPS reports ASAP?
Okay.
Nice. Yep. It's a breathtaking dream. Cut to Joanna at work as her boss again is pressing her about the fucking lack of flair. Joanna says that if you want me to wear 37 pieces of flair, then make the minimum 37 pieces of flair. The boss says that he thought she wanted to express herself. She's like, I do. I do want to express myself. And gives him the finger along with the rest of the restaurant and says she quits. This is me expressing myself.
It's so funny. And then, you know, she's giving him the finger. And he doesn't want to look at it. Like, he's looking down away from, like, he's ashamed.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to see it. And she's just making sure she's rubbing it right up
here,
in his
here
face.
Here it is, motherfucker. Take it in. This is my middle finger. Then Peter goes to check the balance on the virus account. And it reads $305,326.13.
Oops.
He's like, oh, shit. So Samir and Peter and Michael are in the car. And Michael's getting shit from both of them. They're like, what the fuck happened? Michael says that maybe he put a decimal point in the wrong area. He's always forgetting some mundane detail like that. Peter says that this is not some mundane detail, Michael! I'm sure they're going to notice $305,326.13.
Yeah, he's freaking out.
He's pissed. First thing they got to do is close the account before it gets any bigger. It worked too well. Not like in Superman 3.
Not like in Superman 3.
Cut to Milton in the basement as Lumberg comes down there and tells Milton to go ahead and take care of the cockroach problem down here. Then Lumberg is told that there is a huge problem in accounting. A lot of money has gone missing.
That's when the lights shut off on Milton.
Yeah.
He's sitting there in the dark. That's the last straw.
That's the last straw. Get the building on fire.
Back at Peter's, the boys are trying to figure out what to do about the money. Peter says that he can't believe that the money, can't believe that they're looking up the definition of laundering money in a book.
They're nerds.
Peter says that the real thing that I can't believe is that Joanna slept with Lumberg. Michael and Samir say, what, you didn't know that? Yeah, a couple years ago, before he moved to Atlanta. You mean Ron Lumberg? The Innitrode guy? The young guy? Yeah, who'd you think I meant? Bill?
We all just start laughing.
Fucking children would have hooves! Then they get a knock at the door, and it's
Orlando Jones!
It's a guy trying to sell magazine subscription. He says that he used to be addicted
Hello,
to crack.
I used to be addicted to crack, and now I'm selling magazines. You used to be addicted to
he's
crack?
He's like, used to be addicted. What? They invite him in and ask him about money laundering. It's the, Up Yours!
Yeah, it's Orlando Jones.
Make 7 Up Yours!
Those are some of my favorite commercials.
Best campaign ever.
He was also in Evolution.
Yes.
With David Duchovny.
Yep. The guy answers, he says,
I don't know anything about money laundering.
The boys are like, just give us the name of one drug dealer. And the guy starts speaking normal. He's like, guys, I'm not a crackhead. It just helps sell magazines.
It's so funny.
He says that he actually is an unemployed software engineer. He says that he makes more money selling magazine subscriptions than working at Innitrode. Innitrode? You're not going to tell anyone about all this stuff we just told you. He's like, it all depends.
Yeah, he points at the freaking order form.
Yeah. How many magazine subscriptions are you going to buy? So Peter's like, what the fuck am I going to do with 40 subscriptions to Vibe?
Is that still a magazine?
I have no idea.
I'll look it up.
Michael and Samir turn on Peter and leave as Samir says that he is a very, very bad person. Peter knocks on the wall in hopes of talking with Lawrence as he says that he doesn't want Peter fucking up his life too. Then we cut to another nightmare from Peter.
And in light of the senselessness of these heinous crimes that you have committed against Initech, I hereby sentence you, Michael Bolton, and Samir Nun, and Adjibad,
nope,
to a term of no less than 4 years in a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison.
Yeah, that's not going to work here anymore.
Peter Gibbons, you've led a trite and meaningless life. And you're a very bad person.
Slams the gavel. So cut to Peter at his table writing something on a paper and stuffing it along with a bunch of bank checks or money orders into an envelope.
So Vibe Magazine was started by Quincy Jones and discontinued in 2014.
All right. So at this time, it was quite popular. So Peter's outside of Flingers as Joanna is just getting off work. He apologizes for lashing out at her for Lumberg. Wasn't even the right one, he says. That he's probably going away for a while to prison. He's going to take the rap for everything. This computer scam was a bad idea. He doesn't know why he just can't go to work and be happy. He says that he thinks he could be happy with her as she gives him a hug and says, quiet you. Peter goes to Initech and puts the money and the confession under Lumberg's door. Next day, Milton is complaining to his secretary as she leaves and he walks in looking for his stapler. It is stepping on the money in the confession. Cut to Peter leaving his apartment as he knocks on Lawrence's door to say goodbye. He says that he might be going away for a while. Lawrence tells him to watch out for his cornhole.
Yeah, watch cornhole.
Watch cornhole, boy.
So funny.
Now Peter's driving to Innatech. He sees that the building has been set on fire.
It's been set on fire.
As Milton creeps in the crowd, cut to the cleanup crew cleaning up the burned up building.
As Milton is running away, freaking Peter is laughing.
Yeah,
he's laughing like, as it's on fire.
He actually did it. That son of a bitch did it.
He's just watching the whole building start to collapse.
Yeah, it's nice. So we see that Peter is there along with Lawrence. They find a red swingline stapler as Peter says that I might know someone who wants this.
Yeah, what do you want that for? It's burnt. It's a piece of crap.
Just then, Michael and Smear pull up and they ask if everything's cool. He says that the fire probably took care of everything. Peter gets back to shoveling with Lawrence and says, this isn't that bad. Making bucks, getting exercise, working outside.
Fucking A.
Fucking A.
So we then cut to Milton on a Caribbean beach sipping Mai Tais and threatening all kinds of ways he can shut that fucking resort down.
I ordered a Mai Tai and they brought me a pina colada.
No salt.
And I told them the no salt on the rim for the margarita and there was lots of salt. And you know, then he calls him the Raider calls him a gringo. It's just like, I'll call the travel agency. I'll get my traveler checks somewhere else. I'll put strychnine in your guacamole.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to this.
That's the movie. What a movie, man.
Give a ride on the old bone roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yo, 6 o'clock every morning, you waking up yawning to the sound of your alarm clock along. About an hour from now, you should be at your place of employment, which is annoying because it's so boring. Your co-workers be talking.
Hey, don't come back in a dress, man. Big fake.
You wonder why your workload is so enormous because your boss just laid off.
Probably just picked that one up.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, I was burping pretty loud over
nice.
Here.
This beer is good.
This beer is really good.
Hand me another one.
It is named after the dog that, rest in peace, was the brewery dog.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It's good. It's a good beer. Yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
So we're moving on to reviews. Rotten Tomatoes has a critic score for this movie of 80%. Don't know if we can really believe critic scores anymore.
I know you fucking,
Yeah.
You broke that story last time.
So, why don't we just go with the audience score of a 93%.
Wow.
And IMDb gives this movie a 7.6 out of 10.
I feel that's low.
Positive, well, IMDb's tough. Positive reviews. Rita Kempley of the Washington Post. Office Space, a knowing, somewhat slight, and often hilarious send-up of cubicle culture exploits the yucks and chronic misery of those routinely exposed to the monotonous gray of corporate minds and company decor.
All right, my first 10-star review.
Oh, God, 10 bells.
Absolutely brilliant and funny. Mike Judge carves out a rare depiction of life in the IT world. It's not something the Hollywood writers seem to know or write about. He has lived it and knows it quite well. The script, the characters, the plot, the depiction of life in the modern IT world all fit perfectly. This movie broke a lot of ground that has later been copied or slightly deferred. If you like shows like The Office and IT World, I guess, is that a show?
Yeah, I think it was a web series.
Oh, okay. You will thoroughly enjoy this. I remember during the financial crash of 2000, I was in an IT shop then, just before they closed down the entire division. We should... this movie against a white wall in our cubicle. We should show this movie against a white wall in this cubicle area. Even the upper level managers were there laughed. We were at first a little nervous about showing it, but But hey, we were all being laid off and replaced by cheaper offshore labor. Anyways, the humor hits home on a lot of truths.
Fucking A.
Hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. Mike Judge is brilliant. I agree.
Zaki Hassan of Zaki's Corner. For anyone who has secretly longed to flip their bosses the finger or skip work without calling in, Office Space is a cry for encouragement that we're all in the same boat.
I used to come up with some good excuses to call out of work just to hang out with my fucking slut girlfriend.
Nowadays, I just call up and say, yeah, I'm not coming in, okay? And that's all I have to do.
Well, back in the day, you had to be, you know, a little creative, you know? So I'd go to a payphone. Yes, a payphone. It was the 90s. And like, yeah, man, my car got towed. I parked in a like a yellow zone, and they towed my car. I don't know if I'm going to be in. I have to go deal with this. They bought it.
I know one time I was traveling down to Virginia with an uncle, and I'm at one of the rest stops in Maryland, and I'm calling out from a rest stop. You just hear trucks going by. I'm like, yeah, I'm not coming in. I'll feel good. Okay, bye. That was it. One time I called out, and I went to a hockey game. And it turned out to be Brodeur's last game as a Devil.
Is that the one when he cut the net off?
No. This
was... Oh, it was before he went to fucking St. Louis.
Yeah, and we had club seats. So we sat 15 rows off the ice, and that's back when you have club seats. It was all you can eat.
Ooh.
So I had all you can eat, like, random food, sat 15 rows off the ice, and watched the Devils beat the Boston Bruins.
Hell yeah. That doesn't happen too often.
No.
So my next one. Probably the best comedy I've ever seen. Can't find enough words to describe this. It's genius, smart, witty, funny, cringy. Characters are perfect. Everyone fits their place. Videography, acting, the story flows. Couldn't find a thing I didn't like. Watched it for maybe 5 or more times, and it doesn't get any worse. Very entertaining.
So, Phil Viril of the Arizona Daily Star. Who hasn't sat at his desk after lunch and spaced out for an hour? Who wouldn't love to march the coffee machine into a field and go to town on it with a baseball bat?
Hell yeah.
That's the whole review.
Nice. TPS interrupted. I mean, all I can say is that this movie is hysterical and brilliant. Great cast. Anyone who has ever worked in an office environment will worship this movie. All right.
Nice.
Negative reviews.
Bob. Negative reviews time. Todd Anthony of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Is it a shame that people expect certain conventions from their movies? Little things like interesting plots with beginning, middle, and ends, and maybe a little character development thrown in for good measure.
Okay. Unwatchable. We need a new rating here at IMDb. 0 or unwatchable. I tried twice, with a day in between, to watch this unfunny piece of tripe. I even waited for Jennifer to appear and watched her flapper gums for 15 minutes. I simply could not get past the 40-minute mark of this horrible, boring, foolish movie. I've worked in an office, and people can be annoying, as well as funny. Quite frankly, I'd rather let a camera phone roll in our office and focus on our office hottie for too long. That movie would be better than this.
Damn.
So you want to put your movie and exploit a woman against her knowing? Huh.
Hmm.
Once more, I have no idea how this movie garnered such a high rating here at IMDb. I'm starting to lose faith in the collective wisdom here.
Owen Gleiberman of Entertainment Weekly. Office Space.
That's a hell of a name.
Feels cramped and unimagined. I think Judge is capable of making an inspired live-action comedy, but the next time he'll have to remember to do it what he does in his animated ones. Keep the madness popping.
Nice. Let's see. I don't have enough room on the bottom of my DVD rack, so that's the title.
Oh, God.
In all honesty, if you'd like to see this movie, I'm not stopping you, but if a no-plot movie... Bad editing, vulgarity, and poor taste is what you're looking for. See this movie. The film lacks drive, momentum, and plot. I will admit that I do like the obvious humor about work, but a lot of the time it is in very poor taste and lacks refinement. Making fun of a handicapped, able guy in my book sucks. What?
They weren't making fun of a handicapped
guy. Are they talking about Milton?
They might be talking about Milton. But he's not handicapped. He's just crazy.
He's just weird. He's quirky.
He's the weird guy.
Who's the who's the fucking handicapped guy?
I guess they're mentioning Milton.
It has to be.
It has to be. And they're not making fun of him. They're just highlighting all the bullshit that keeps happening. Like the fact he didn't get any cake during the cake
scene. We
didn't mention that. Every time I get type of cake, I don't get a piece. And everyone's eating a piece of cake except for him.
But he keeps handing, he's the one handing it off.
Yeah, and they keep saying, hysterical. Now, Milton, don't be selfish, but that's them. And then cake, just pass the cake, Milton. Or the fact that they steal his stapler. Or they make him go in the basement with freaking cockroaches. He's not handicapped. He's a little weird, but we're highlighting the fact that they keep fucking with
him. He's rightfully vindictive.
I mean, he breaks into Lumberg's office at the end to look for his stapler. And then burns the place down.
Yeah.
To me, he's got all the rights in the world.
Milton rules. They've got enough stuff to work with, to work through, let alone this. Just my humble opinion. The screen time that was given to putting down the guy was way over the top for me.
Your review sucks, and yeah. You suck. I hate you.
This guy sucks. I'm done. All right.
All right. So my last review, my daughter picked it and said, nobody likes this guy. Nobody likes Robin Clifford of Reeling Reviews.
Nice.
She said, nobody likes Robin. The last half hour is disappointing. It's a disappointment. It's a disappointment of routine and mildly amusing humor.
Okay.
That's it for me.
My last one, Unintelligent is the name. Build up. Dramatic tension. Suspense. More music. More edits, more close-ups. As many feet of film are consumed, everything we see revolves around the need for the lead character to make his workstation appear turned off. What? However, both the drama and the comedy fall flat as the director of Office Space falsely asserts that a computer monitor's off button cannot be pushed until CPU functioning has completely ended. One can only assume that the average viewer of Office Space is more computer literate than the film's director. I have no fucking clue what that person's talking about.
They're reading too much into things. It's a comedy movie.
Yeah.
You're reading too much into this.
If you're stumped by this movie, you need to look inward.
I don't understand how they're able to turn off a computer monitor before turning off the computer and inserting a floppy disk two days sideways. I don't know. You're an idiot. Fuck you. End this shit.
Thank you. Let's go. Let's fucking go, Bob.
Fucking A.
Fucking A.
So it's trivia time.
Yeah.
The iconic red stapler coveted by Milton was created for the film by the prop department.
That's my first piece.
They needed a bright enough color to be seen on film, and they chose red. After the film was released, Swingline
began to receive requests from customers for red staplers.
Having stopped offering red several years before, they made the decision to start offering the color once more.
That's funny. After a poor box office performance, the movie gained cult status on video. Mike Judge has said that more people talked to him about this movie than any project he has ever worked on. Judge was offered a chance to make a sequel, Office Space 2, still renting. Judge said that because he had been through enough anguish over the first one, he didn't want to put himself through the experience again.
He also made Idiocracy.
Idiocracy.
Idiocracy, yeah. He made that movie, too.
I love that movie.
The movie's hilarious.
It's factual.
Milton was actually based on a former co-worker that Mike Judge had worked during his days as an engineer. One day, Judge went to the co-worker and asked him how he was doing. The co-worker began talking about how he was going to quit the job because he had been forced to move his desk around too many times.
In one memorable scene, Michael Bolton? Is that your real name? Laments having the same name as the singer, calling him a no-talent ass clown. In 2015, the real Michael Bolton appeared in a Funny or Die video. He was digitally inserted into several scenes from the movie, replacing his namesake character. He repeated the lines verbatim, with one exception. He called himself an extremely talented ass clown. Okay.
Michael Bolton, come on, man. Judge said, after the film came out, although it was not a box office success, he received compliments from many celebrities who enjoyed the film. Jim Carrey invited Judge to his house. Chris Rock left the best voicemail ever, in Judge's words, and Madonna took him to dinner.
Ooh, I want to... And?
Yeah. Madonna, you know, yeah. Blew the radio star.
Right? You might have said this. This film is loosely based on Mike Judge's animated shorts entitled Milton.
I didn't say that. Okay.
Which ran on Saturday Night Live, 1975, and MTV's Liquid Television, 1991, in the early 90s.
Nice.
Damn.
All the cast members were relatively unknown at the time. 20th Century Fox agreed to produce the movie only if Mike Judge cast at least one famous name. Jennifer Aniston was cast as Joanna, as it allowed Judge to cast each of his less known actors.
What's his name? Peter kind of blew up because he got the role in
Saving Private Ryan.
Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers.
Yeah. The studio wanted Matt Damon as Peter.
Matt Damon.
But Mike Judge felt the role should not have star energy. Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson auditioned for the role of Lawrence. I could see Vince Vaughn, or either one of those guys doing that.
I see Vince Vaughn more than Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Well, Kate Hudson was considered to play Joanna.
She was big at the time, Kate Hudson.
Yeah. That's all I got, buddy.
When I got several more. When he was pitched the project, my judge arranged a table read of the script for executives at 20th Century Fox and recruited several actors from his animated television series King of the Hill for the reading. Stephen Root read several parts, including Milton. Judge loved his take on the character so much he cast them to play Milton in the film.
Nice.
The set of Tchotchkes is actually a restaurant, the Alligator Grill, in Austin, Texas. The Alligator Grill is closed down as of 2009.
Oh, boy.
The cars have fictitious general U.S. license plates to avoid naming a specific state. However, they mimic Texas license plates where Mike Judge is from.
Okay.
Peter and his neighbor Lawrence live in the Morningwood Apartments. The name can be seen early in the film when Peter drives home after work. And then, last one, Office Space was released 2 months after the feature film A Simple Plan. Both films were about three men and their failed conspiracy to keep money that does not belong to them. Both films feature Gary Cole as the main antagonist.
Get out of here.
What was happening? I was in a couple movies about stealing money. And that's it.
Yeah. The revolution is televised.
Now it's time for the saucy part. The belchy part. The burpee part.
Tastes like pumpkin pie.
All right, it's time for our ratings.
Go first, Jay.
I'll go first. I struggled with this for a little bit. Because the next movie we're doing, I like a lot.
Ooh.
And I also like this one a lot. I liked the story in this. I liked how it progressed. I liked going against those reviews that said it didn't have all those things. I thought it did have those things. It had progression. Especially with Peter. How he just went from despising his job to finding what he wanted to make him happy in life. That was great. 9.5.
Whoa!
I wanted to give this 10 as a comedy.
That's a high score.
I know. It's a great movie. Super quotable.
I thought I was going to be high.
It's super rewatchable. I watched this 5 fucking times for this show. And I laughed every goddamn time. That's a great movie, man. It makes you laugh over and over and over after every rewatch. Come on.
Yeah, so I'm kind of with Jay. This is a really good movie. I've seen it several times. It's very quotable. Makes me laugh.
It's a good movie.
Is it that high?
I might be a little high.
8.8.
All right, so you're right. You're right there.
I'm right there. It's a great movie. It's not a perfect 10.
It's a cult classic, man.
It's a great movie. It's very quotable. I love it. 8.8. It's an 8.8.
That's fine. I really wanted to give this a 10. But
there's only two 10 films.
We only have two?
Only have two. That's a very high bar. Jaws and Halloween.
That is a fucking high
bar.
That's
a high bar.
Holy shit.
That's
dude.
Why I can't give it an 8. That's why I can't give it in the 9.
I know. That's why I didn't. I mean, I gave it in the 9s. I did. Because it deserves it. But.
All right. That's it.
All right.
Well, that's another good show, Jay. Another good show.
Yeah, damn.
Very good show. Very
it's a
good
damn
show.
Damn good show.
Very good show. So you can find us on our socials at Facebook at Flick Magnet, Instagram Flick Magnet, and you can email us our likes, suggestions, what you thought of this movie, what you want us to review, blah 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 blah.
Go to the Q&A on the episode details on Spotify.
Yeah, flickmagnetpod@yahoo.com.
Bob's tired.
Oh, I'm tired. It's been a long day.
It's been a long week.
It's been a while.
Dude, Nickelback's killing it right now.
Nickelback's not a bad band. I don't know
they're
why.
They just got some shit.
They just get so much hate.
I have a few of their songs on my like backyard like Spotify playlist.
Rockstar is a great song.
What's the one I like?
I like Photograph. Look at this photograph.
It's not that. I forget what it's called. Anyway. Stay tuned for the next movie. Long overdue.
Uh-oh.
Long overdue. I can't wait to do it. I'm going to start doing in my notes this weekend.
All right. See you next time.
Goodbye.
Hello?
Hello.
Who is this?
Tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You're making popcorn?
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Well, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
Someone is playing a deadly game.
It all began with a scream over 911.
Someone who's seen one too many scary movies. Now, he's taken his love of fear.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney.
One step too far.
Do you like scary movies?
What's the point? They're all the same. Some stupid killer stalking some big-breasted girl who can't act, who's always running up the stairs when she should be going out the front door. It's insulting.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a scary movie. Number one, you can never have sex.
Hey, where are you? What's wrong? It's me.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
Get another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
You didn't make the rules.
The police are always off track. If they watch Prom Night, they'd save time.
He just kills by them. Don't answer the phone. Don't open the door. Don't try to hide.
Everybody's a suspect!
You're not scared, are you?
Scream.
Cock gobblers.